I won't ever understand my shorties be mad when all I wanna do is stick my toes in the sand. There's nothing wrong with champagne, dancing and such, but the nightlife in the city don't impress me much. F-I-S-H-I-I-N, fishing.
Fishing.
F-I-S-H-I-I-N, fishing.
Fishing.
I don't feel right in the club, I'd rather be out, sitting in my 14-footer catching some trout. The fishes all tremble at the thought of me when I'm F-I-S-H-I-I-N, Paul Bunyan country.
Well, first time this spring, we've had a chance to check in with Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service, a guy who does everything outdoors. And I know you're fishing now, but what between hunting and fishing have you been doing? I know there's been a bunch of it.
Well, hunting and fishing, and yes. It's wild edible season, so running around
right.
The woods a little bit, pulling deer ticks off, but a lot of hunting. I mean, between the end of ice fishing and the start of open water, I was chasing turkeys all over the place and hoping other people get turkeys. So that ate up most of my time when I wasn't working. So
okay, now I know you. Yeah, I know you bounced around and did some turkey hunting in a few different places. Where all did you go?
I started my season in Florida and then did South Dakota, and then both of my kids took them out in Minnesota. And then this past weekend, we did the Boys and Girls Club hunt for the Bemidji Boys and Girls Club. Took some youth out, and I've got Kansas on the docket still, trying to find time to squeeze down there. And I still have my Minnesota season, which opens Wednesday. So,
so tell me a little bit about the Boys and Girls Club hunt. What was that about?
Yeah, so a buddy of mine started the Central Minnesota Boys and Girls Club annual turkey hunt, where four lucky youth that are chosen by the Boys and Girls Club get to learn about gun safety, a little bit of hunter education, learn about turkey hunting, and then two adult guides take the kids out and they try to harvest their first turkey. So he started that several years ago, and then last year he approached me about bringing it to the Bemidji area, and last year was our first time doing it, and we did it again this year, and it's been really successful, and it's a really neat opportunity for the kids, for kids who don't get to, you know, grow up in a family like mine or like I did, where you get to hunt and fish on a regular basis. These are all kids that are new to it, so it's really, really cool.
Very cool, absolutely. And I'm not going to say it's got the hype of the walleye opener, but that turkey opener and that turkey season in Minnesota's getting something that people are getting really excited about now. Every spring, you hear a lot of buzz about it.
Yeah, I think people are, well, the bird numbers are increasing so much that it's hard to deny, and then it gives you kind of something to do in between. Spring is kind of a drab season, so if you can get out in the woods and get some fresh air, it's kind of a nice change of pace after a long winter. So,
now before we dive into fishing, one more question. Where in Florida does one find wild turkeys?
Everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, like here in Minnesota, we have the eastern subspecies, and they have the eastern subspecies basically north of the Shawnee River. And then from like central Florida down south to the Everglades, they have the Osceola. So I was actually chasing the Osceola because I'm trying to shoot a single season Grand Slam, but... But yeah, they've got two different types of turkeys, and I mean, you can see them. We were down there on vacation, and like there were turkeys all over the side of the road when we were going from Orlando to the Kennedy Space Center. Like, there's turkeys everywhere down there. Mm.
You don't expect that.
No, you don't. but they're there.
Okay. Well, we've had a couple of weeks of walleye season under our belts. How's it been going for you?
It's been good. Opening day was a little interesting. It was, you know, you're shaking a little bit of the rust off and trying to get everything figured out with the boat and all that fun jazz, you know. Made it up to the Rainy River and got some of that stuff done, but you don't really get to run your boat all that much on the Rainy. So,
yeah.
So opening day, you get to really see what your boat's going to do in the heavy waves, because it's always either rainy, snowy, windy, and this year we had the wind. So it was really, really good once we figured out a pattern, but it took us several hours to piece everything together. And then once we figured that out, then that's kind of continued on, and the bite hasn't changed at all. So, and I think it's only going to continue to get better as the water temps warm up just a little bit here, you know, before we hit that mid-June, late-June heat wave, if we ever get one.
Yeah,
but right now with the water temps the way they are, the fishing is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I feel like fishing is going to be pretty good through much of June, just because I don't think it is going to get. I don't feel like we're going to get a real warm up until like July, and that should make that June bite stay pretty strong.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll even get an algae bloom this year.
That's a good question.
The mayflies may never hatch.
So what are you catching them on right now?
Jigging a shiner.
Yeah.
If you can find spot tail shiners, you're going to do well. If you can't find spot tails, I actually don't like goldies. I'll switch to a rainbow if I have to. But you can get them on fatheads too, and the perch are really going, and the crappies are really going, so you can get a pretty good mixed bag right now. And, of course, the northerns are always biting on anything. You can throw a plain jig, and they'll eat that. But yeah, it's that time of year where you can just grab a couple different scoops of minnows. You can get some shiners for walleyes, and if you get sick of chasing walleyes or you get your limit, you can bounce over to a different spot and really do well on crappies and perch, too, so.
Yeah, you know, and depending, of course, if the wind will let you on the water, I mean, every lake I've heard has been really, really strong so far. And I've heard more people talking about crappie than I've heard in years past this time. So I don't know if they're just getting their limits of walleyes earlier, so they're looking for something else to fish for. But, yeah, more and more people talking crappies, too.
Yeah, well, I think part of it has to do with, again, with water temps. So they're, you know, they're still in that early stage where they're feeding heavily, getting ready for spawn, and they're just waiting for that perfect water temp to hit so that they can get their thing done. But, you know, typically that's happening very soon or is happening, and this year things are kind of drawn out. So we're getting that early crappie bite. People usually are used to anyway. I think there's more education about it now, but everyone used to think that the crappies bit so well in the spring because of spawn, and actually it's because they're moving up really shallow to feed to get ready for spawn. But I think we're still kind of in that window where they're feeding really heavily. But some of the fish are already starting to change color, which tells me they're, you know, they're hanging out shallow and they're getting ready for spawn anyway. So so that's going well. And the bass, kind of the same deal. They're really feeding heavily, getting ready for spawn. And everything is just like either feeding really well trying to get ready or feeding really well on recovery after spawn. So it's that magical time of year where you can really go out and catch.
Mr. Matt Brewer from North Country Guide Service, my guest. We've got a lot more with Matt to come.
Someday, I won't go fishing. Of course, I'll be dead. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You're listening to Fish and Paul Bunyan Country.
Matt Brewer from North Country Guide Service, my guest today. We were talking a little bit about the bass opener last segment. And Matt, so it sounds like it's going to be a good bass opener?
Yeah, bass opener should be absolutely fantastic.
Now, will you be fishing bass this weekend?
I will not this weekend. I have guide trips for smallmouth next weekend. My daughter has a birthday this weekend, so I'm actually not going to be on the water on Saturday at all, and then Sunday I have to do a walleye trip.
Okay.
But almost every year, my daughter wants to go bass fishing on bass opener. So, so last year I took her out, and she was able to get a 20.5-incher. So,
wow.
We'll see if we can beat that this year.
Okay. So what lakes have you fished on so far?
Big Turtle, Kitchee, and Bemidji. So, kind of some of the bigger bodies of water. And they've all been really good.
Okay. I've heard more from Irving than Bemidji so far this year, but you like Bemidji early.
It's so weird. I don't like Bemidji opening weekend.
Okay.
I've opened on Bemidji a few times, just a handful, and it's always like kind of scratching to get your limit type of thing. Whereas other lakes like Big Turtle or Kitchee, once you find a pot of fish, you can really melee them and you can fill the box up pretty quick. Whereas Bemidji, on years I've opened there, it's been like pick up a fish here, two there, a fish here. So I usually wait until like the week after opener, and I don't know mentally if it makes a difference for me or what the deal is, but I always do well after opener on Bemidji, and maybe it's the amount of people, I'm not sure, but I do really like Bemidji, and I think maybe I just try to stay away from it for a little bit too, because I guide out there so much, so I like to hit some of the other bodies of water before I'm stuck on Bemidji every day.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about what else I just remember seeing, I think, one of your posts, that you were writing some stuff recently. Who do you write for, and where can we see it?
Oh, I just submitted an article this morning for Game and Fish magazine. I write a lot for, like, Gun Digest, NRA magazines, Shooting Illustrated, American Hunter, stuff like that. Kind of all over the place. FNW publications. I mean, Hunter and Trapper, Trapper and Predator Caller. There's a lot of different magazines that will call on me for filler stuff or that I'll query if I have a good story idea. But yeah, writing takes up a lot of my time these days, and that's good for guys like Jason and Justin and Tim, because if they can get out with clients more, then they're happier. And if I'm writing too much to be able to fish, I can always rely on them to take people out and have a good time. So it's been busy.
So did the writing thing just kind of come by accident, or are you somebody who was always interested in doing some writing?
Well, I've always dabbled in writing, basically since I started guiding. It started with, like, you know, fishing reports, and then it turned into, hey, can you write us a how-to article on this or that? And I guess I've always done stuff like that. Places like Outdoor News and Outdoors Weekly, some of those smaller local regional publications. I've always dabbled with some of those, and then I needed is one editor to see something that they liked, and then word kind of spreads, and you start to get more pieces thrown your way. And if you can write, and they don't have to edit the heck out of it, then they like you that much more. So,
how did this North Country Guides juggernaut get going?
It all started. No, I really don't know. I mean, I lived on Big Turtle, and we were fishing. My wife and I were fishing every day, and actually, back in the old days, when Tabor's bait was still around and kind of the big bait shop in town, started guiding out of there, and then went off on my own and started the business, and everything just kind of started to expand from there, I guess. So I don't even remember, like, how it started or where it started or what the conversations were like. But I remember my first client ever, and they're still clients today, which is awesome.
Wow.
And yeah, I really don't know how it all evolved, but it did, and I'm getting gray hair, and it's been like 16, 17 years, so
well,
it's moving quick.
And how many do you have on the staff now?
There's 7 of us total.
Okay. So yeah. It's just a good crew.
Yeah, and it is a good crew. It took a long time to find the right people, but I think I've got a pretty good crew right now, and everyone is really passionate about the outdoors and seeing other people succeed and looking at other people's smiles when they catch fish or find their first mushroom or, you know, harvest their first bear, stuff like that. It's a really passionate group of people. So,
and I know you do all of that stuff. Does everybody do everything, or do you have some specialists?
Everybody kind of tries to dabble in everything, but certain people are definitely, you know, specialize in certain things. Like Tim really understands muskies, so if he is open and can do a muskie trip, typically we'll let him do a muskie trip. And Jason is really, really good with families. I guess, you know, I feel like I'm pretty good with families as well, but he is really good with kids. So if there's a group that that has a couple kids with, I'll always check to see if he's open, or if it's like two younger guys. They always seem to have fun with Jason because he's hilarious, and they might not want to set the world on fire with fish, but they might want really good, funny company. And Jason's perfect for that because he doesn't catch a lot of fish. So. No, he's a really good fisherman, but his attitude and his demeanor really make it extra worthwhile. So he's a fun guy to fish with. So.
Okay.
And Tara really likes the foraging aspect, and she's really gotten into being interested in bear baiting and stuff like that. So, you know, everybody tries to do a little bit of everything, but certain people definitely excel in certain areas. So.
And I know she's not the only one out there, but I love the fact that Tara's really working hard to expand further into female hunters, and especially for that next generation. I love that aspect.
Yeah, it's really cool. And she's one of those people. She's like the female version of me. She's got like 8 million things going on at all times, and I really respect that. And her work ethic is good, and it's almost always for a good cause, so it's good to have her on board.
All right, if we're going out this weekend, give us some good tips on what the elevator pitch and what we should be doing for walleyes and bass.
What I would be doing is, and it's pretty simple. Find a shallow sand or gravel flat in like 7 to 12 feet of water. And those nice gradual long sand flats are a good place to start. And I'd be pitching a jig and a shiner, or a vertical jigging on the edge, or if you can possibly find any new growth weeds along those sand flats, you're going to find good concentrations of walleyes. And be sure to check around for your local bait shops for spot tail shiners. Call Ethan at Northwoods and see if he's got shiners available. And if he does, try to snag them up, because every year I fear that we're going to run out. But if you can get shiners and you can fish that shallow sand and find a pot of fish, you're going to do well.
Okay.
For bass, I guess you're kind of going to be doing the same thing, looking for weed growth or fishing those edges. And if you can get close to the pencil reeds, a lot of bass are hanging out in pencil reeds right now, so those are good areas to try. Or any new growth lily pads that aren't really up yet, but they're starting, so you can see them down there because of the gin clear water that we have in the spring. Concentrate on those areas, and you're going to find some fish.
All right, and Matt, whether we want to book a trip with you or any of the crew with North Country Guides, how do we do that?
Simply go to northcountryguides.com. Or you can find us on Google and give us a call or shoot us an email.
Matt Brewer from North Country Guides, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you.
Fishing, Bob Barn, yeah. Country, country.